And you know what? Man, I love to dive into the Word of God. I love to study the Word of God. Now, I've told you before, I'll be sitting there working on some kind of administrative issue for the church. You know, working on this program, working on that program. I'll be sitting there, and somebody will call me and say, Pastor Glaze, what this verse say? You know what? Whatever I was working on, it's gone. Because, man, that's my joy. That's my heart. That's my desire. And so people with this gift love to just dig down in and do research, and then they love to teach other people. And I pray to God that as you sit there today, that you are learning something.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Gift of Teaching. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Gift of Teaching.
You know, and if Pastor Glaze says something that don't line up, then you scratch your head and give me a call. And say, Pastor, I didn't see that now. Where'd you get that from? And we can sit down and we can reason. That's what these Bereans did. They sat down and they listened to hear what Paul had to say. And then they went through the scripture to see whether or not he was saying was true. And you know, as I think about this, and even as we go through the outline today, the fifth bullet point in people with this gift. The fifth bullet point. You see, these individuals are disturbed when the truth is not being taught or verses are taken out of context. Apollos, look at this brother. The Bible says that he was a mighty man in the scripture, in the Old Testament, that he was eloquent. Just think about the most eloquent speaker that you've ever heard. Just take me out of your mind and, you know, think. No, I'm just one. I tell you, I'm just a fire and brim Riverstone preacher. So, you know, but I'm just saying, there's some preachers that could dazzle you. I mean, there's some preachers that could fix this thing up and have all these flowery words and these big words. Somebody said, Pastor Glaze, when you preach your sermon, we want you to use some big words. And when I was introduced, I came up and I said, I've been asked to use some big words, and I just want to say that I'm well glad and elephant proud to be here. So, and somebody said, you look like it. No, just kidding. But as we think about, you know, the fact that, you know, here was Apollos, this gifted individual, eloquent, able to speak. And can you imagine Aquila and Priscilla sitting there listening to him? You know, Mama, he got some good stuff. Yeah, Dad, he knows that Old Testament. Yeah, but honey, you know, he don't have this thing on Jesus Christ right. Do you think the brother would listen to us if we pulled him aside and began to share with him and tell him the rest of the message? You know, I think of all the songs that we heard this morning from the deaf ministry. Just think of all the songs that we heard. What did they do? They told the rest of the story. They were like Paul Hervey, and this is the rest of the story. And so that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They took Apollos in, and they told him the rest of the story. And they began to teach him. And not only did they begin to teach him, but they brought him into their home and taught him. And they were constantly opening up their home to teach people the Word of God. And see, that's the last thing that I want to say about that, is people who have this gift of teaching, they use their resources to teach the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, if you're a teacher, you need to sit down with me and we need to talk if you're not already here. I was in the airport coming back from preaching somewhere, and I had to preach here at Bethany on Sunday morning. And I had been preaching all week, and I knew what I wanted to preach, but I hadn't studied it out. And do you know, right there in the airport, 4 or 5 hours layover here, hour or two on the plane, I prepared my whole sermon and didn't have one book in my briefcase. Had it all on my computer. 20-some Bibles on my computer. 300 or 400 commentaries on my computer. 5 or 6 Bible dictionaries on my computer. See, people that have the gift of teaching, they invest in that gift because they want to, man, they want to be the best for God that they can be. And if you are a teacher today, you know, you should not skimp. You should not skimp on the tools to prepare yourself and equip yourself to minister to other people. Well, you know, I think I'm going to get this paperback Bible dictionary here. You know, that's Homeboy's Bible Dictionary. Let me get Homeboy's Bible Dictionary. You know, that's only $3 in the paper. No, man, go on and get you a new Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Get you a good one. You a student of the Word. Only the best. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you going to give me the money to be able to do that? Come on, I pray with you. My father got big bucks. My father got plenty of money. And if he calls you to teach, he's going to get you the resources you need to teach. And so we need to realize that Aquila and Priscilla, they opened up their home. Whatever resources they had available, they opened up their home so that anyone who wanted to be trained and taught could come in because they had a heart for people to learn the Word of God and the gospel. People with this gift, they desire 3 things. I'm going to move pretty quick because I'm going somewhere. They desire to take things that are difficult to understand and make them simple. If you've got the gift of teaching, what you want to do, you know, there's nothing more I love than studying a deep theological problem. You know, right now, I'm teaching at the National Conference for Biblical Counseling in Philadelphia in May. I'm doing a presentation. And the title of my presentation is The Spirit of the World versus the Spirit of Christ in Counseling. And so I've had to go back, and all I've been doing the last couple weeks is studying psychological theories, Freud and Rogers and Jung and all these guys, and just going back and studying psychology. And, you know, taking me back to my college days when I took psychology 3 times. I flunked the first 2 times, and I finally got it right the 3rd time. But now just going back, looking at studying psychology and seeing how it matches up with the Word of God, and then to have to go deep in the Word of God, and it's just blowing my mind to see that, man, everything, I've been studying all the psychological theories, and you know, one of the things I found out, let me tell you this, high school student, college student, that every psychological theory has some truth in it, and you can find that same truth in the Word of God. It's blowing me away. It's blowing me away that, you know, as Freud said, that sometimes we have repressed memories that we just put down, and that sometimes, you know, we do things because our memories are repressed, and then something will come up and trigger it off. Well, you know, the Word of God talks about that. You know, people putting away things that they don't want to think about. They just put them aside, and then at another time they come back. So it's just amazing, and I've just had so much fun just digging into psychology, but more than that, digging into the Word of God and seeing how that God's Word is just so deep and powerful. Somebody said that God's Word is so deep that an Olympic swimmer could dive into it, but it's so shallow that a baby can wade in it. Oh, the Word of God. You know what I like to say. The Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not if I could believe a good man wrote it to deceive, and a good man would not if he could proceed to write a book so good. So it must be that God inspired words that souls of prophets fired. This is the Word of God. And you know what? Man, I love to dive into the Word of God. I love to study the Word of God. Now, I've told you before, I'll be sitting there working on some kind of administrative issue for the church. You know, working on this program, working on that program. I'll be sitting there, and somebody will call me and say, Pastor Glaze, what this verse say? You know what? Whatever I was working on, it's gone. Because, man, that's my joy. That's my heart. That's my desire. And so people with this gift love to just dig down in and do research, and then they love to teach other people. And I pray to God that as you sit there today, that you are learning something. See, because a teacher, what does a teacher want? A teacher wants to know that people are learning. And I pray today that you would be learning something. If you didn't know anything else, that you would know something about Aquila and Priscilla. How is this gift misunderstood by others? And I'm going through this pretty quick, so you have it in your notes. How is this gift misunderstood by others? Well, sometimes people look at this individual and say that, you know, this person is more interested in covering his lesson than he is in making sure that I learn. And so people can misunderstand that sometimes. And then sometimes people think that, you know, well, he's giving too many details. I don't need all that. You know, just get down to the meat. Just get down to the nitty-gritty. And then other people say, well, you know, he's more interested in sharing facts than he is in the student. You know, he just wants to show off this research that he did. He just wants to show you how much that he knows. And I see that Satan even attacks this gift. How does Satan attack the gift of teaching? Several ways. First of all, he attacks it from the standpoint is that he makes people feel puffed up. You know, it's very easy for me to stand up here and say, I know more than y'all. I'm a Bible scholar. I'm a first class, world-renowned radio teacher, Bible Institute teacher, seminary professor, Bible scholar. See, so you know what? There's nothing more dangerous than a brother with a little bit of knowledge. Nothing more dangerous, because now he wants to be the expert, right? And you get puffed up. And see, God might have blessed some with this gift of teaching, but if you're not careful, you can allow it. You can get the big head and not be able to walk through the classroom door. And so you got to be humble when God gives you this gift. What's another way that Satan attacks this gift? Is that it causes the person that wants to see others know the word with little concern for applying the word. See, I want you to know it, but I want you to apply it too. You know, I want you to take it to your heart. But sometimes the teacher, if Satan attacks this gift, then they're not necessarily concerned about how people apply it. They're just concerned about their presentation and how they're going to get it out. And so Satan can attack this gift. What's another way for Satan to attack it? Now, I've seen it. And that is the person wants to go too deep for other people. They want to get down here, and they want to talk about all the deep theological problems that the theologians for years and years have been arguing about, and they want to take this little group of people in this Bible study, and they want to take them down here, and the people don't want to go there. They're just trying to get some Bible knowledge to help them get through this knucklehead they got to deal with on their job. You know, that's what I'm trying to get. You know, I don't care about Luther and Calvin and all them guys. It's good that they were there, and it's good that Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door at Wittenberg. That's all good. That's great. But look, brother, Luther might have nailed the 95th theses to the door at Wittenberg, but I got the sheriff coming nailing a bill to my door. How can I deal with that? And so, you know, sometimes, you know, the brother that he gets a little deep, he wants to go a little too deep for folks. And then, you know, sometimes he's critical when other people are not at his level of understanding. You know, y'all should be here. What's wrong with y'all? You didn't know that? How come you didn't know that? See, there you go, letting Satan. Satan got all up in your gift now. And then sometimes Satan will attack it by causing this person to be discouraged. When other people seem like they're not interested, when people seem like, well, you know what, I don't care what he got to say, then Satan will attack that gift and the person will become discouraged. And then sometimes this person will judge people by their biblical knowledge. They will say that determines how spiritual they are, that if they don't have a lot of biblical knowledge, they can't be too spiritual. So, you know, Satan can come in there and attack the gift. And so, you know, we need to be careful if we have this gift, how that it can be attacked. Where are some places you can use this at Bethany Baptist Church? Sunday school teacher, Awana teacher, kids worship teacher, PLBI teacher. Sister Sheila was up here this morning. Vacation Bible school teacher, Sunday school teacher, pulpit minister, YCC teacher, write articles for the newsletter. So there's a lot of different ways that you can use this gift. As I begin to wind down this morning, how does this apply to all of us? I've spoke to those with the gift of teaching. As we look at this gift, how does this apply to everyone sitting here today? What does this mean for me? Well, the first thing it should mean is that you should have a teachable spirit. You should never get to the place where you think that you've arrived. You should never get to the place where you say, I don't need that. You should have a teachable spirit. As a matter of fact, the writer of Proverbs says to receive instruction, that you should be in a constant state of receiving instruction. And then I'm going to go down to the third point, where it says that all believers should be in a position of teaching or being taught. You should be in one or two places. You should either be teaching somebody else, or you should be being taught yourself. You should be able to go up to any person here and ask them the question, are you teaching or being taught? You should be able to go up to any person here and say, who are you teaching? Who are you pouring yourself into? Well, you know, I got a family and I don't have time to go to the Bible study and I don't have time to do. Well, you know what? You got some folk right there in your crib. You need to be pouring yourself in right there. So if somebody asks you, well, maybe you don't have time to come out on Wednesday night. You don't have time to come on Sunday morning. But you need to be teaching the folk right there. See, we all need to be in a place of teaching. You know, and let me say this. Pastor Glaze doesn't get upset. Now, we have Bible study on Wednesday night. We got Sunday school on Sunday morning. All right? I'm not going to get upset if you go into a Bible study somewhere else. My only concern is make sure that it's straight. Make sure that it's not off and teaching some false doctrine. That's my only thing. But if you're involved in a Bible study somewhere else, there's some good Bible studies around. I know a lot of the ladies go to the Bible study in East Liberty. There's other Bible studies, and I encourage that. Praise God for that. Because we need to be sitting somewhere where we are getting good teaching. You know, I said this, and I'll throw this out there, is that if we have enough people interested, I'll start teaching a Bible study during the day. All right, I'll start teaching one during the day, Wednesday afternoon. You know, I got to teach on Wednesday night. I can bump it up to Wednesday afternoon. Teach on Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday night if you want to be in a Bible study. And then we always have our Bible Institute. I just want to say that. We got our Bible Institute that's teaching solid stuff, stuff you don't have to be concerned about. You don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about false doctrine. You don't have to worry about somebody teaching you something that's askew. Because you're going to be getting the truth. So there's two things that I want to challenge you with. The first thing is that at any time, a person should be able to come up to you and say, who are you teaching or who are you studying under? And the second thing, and I thought about this for this whole series, and that is this. What is your spiritual gift? What is your spiritual gift? That if somebody came up to you right now and said, what is your spiritual gift? Pastor Glaze is doing a study on the spiritual gifts. What is your gift in the ones that he's been teaching? And you say, I don't know. Well, how come you don't know? You know, we already said, you can go online and you can take the spiritual gift inventory to find out what your spiritual gift is. Or you can see Sister Lydia Lockhart and she will give you the hard copy to find out what your spiritual gift is. We want everybody at Bethany to understand what their spiritual gift is. What can we take away from this teaching gift? All believers should have a teachable spirit. All believers should be in a position of teaching or being taught. Look at the second thing. All believers should desire to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not blush with embarrassment, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You should be studying God's Word. There is no reason why God's people, you know, now look, if we was up in the mosque this morning, I guarantee you most of the folk just sitting there, they done been in that Quran, and they've been educated in that Quran, all right? I know I ran into a person that was Jehovah's Witness, and I said, I was impressed. This was a layman. This wasn't an official or elder or whatever they call them. This was just a lay person. They knew what they knew what they knew. It was a lie, but they knew it. They knew it. Man, you run into the average Christian, and you start talking to them about the Christian faith. You know, we get all fumbled up and tumbled up and tied up. You ought to be studying the Word of God. The Word of God ought to be in our spirit. You know, Bethany is a Bible-teaching church, but are the people in it Bible learning individuals? Man, I would to God that at any time if a person walked up to a member of Bethany Baptist Church and asked them a question, not a deep theological question, but just asked them a general question about the Christian faith, that everybody in here needs to know how to answer it. All of us need to, we need to be able to answer it just like that. They answer us a question about Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his deity. We ought to be able to answer questions about that. If they ask us a question about the Word of God, is it the inspired Word of God? We ought to be able to answer those questions. Study, study to show yourself approved. Then in Hebrews chapter 5, and verse, I'm going to read this one, Hebrews chapter 5. And I know it's getting a little late there, saints, but that's all right. We're going to roll on. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And in Hebrews chapter 5, it says this in verse 12. And this is not talking to the leaders. This is talking to the people. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. He's saying that you should be teaching somebody else. That as a believer, you should be teaching somebody else, but you have need that somebody teaches you. He says, and such are still at John Eagle in the milk section, and you are not at Lone Star Steakhouse or Outback. That's the Glaze translation. That's the hood. That's the hood translation. You're still drinking Infamil, and you need to be eating that Lone Star. All right? And he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You should be getting to the point where you could teach somebody else. I didn't say you had the gift of teaching. I didn't say you needed to teach at the church. I didn't say that. I said you need to be getting to the point where you can teach somebody else. You should be so gifted and skilled in the Word of God that you pick up this Word and you can teach somebody else from the Word of God. Can you teach somebody from the Word? And then my last point is that all believers should be praying for the people around them, that they would be taught solid doctrine in the Word of God. Paul talked about this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. It's written down there for you. But where are you at today? Scripture says, or the songwriter said, in times like these, we need a Bible. In times like these, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You need a Bible. You need to be grabbing a hold of this Bible. And you need to be teaching somebody else. When was the last time you opened up the Word and taught somebody? Well, you know, that's not my thing. No, that's supposed to be your thing. Jesus said, Matthew 28, go into all the world teaching. Teaching. That every believer is to be a teacher. Some are gifted with teaching and rise up to another calling, but all should be teachers. And I pray to God today that you would take this challenge, saints. Oh, my heart is heavy because I'm a teacher. And my heart is heavy because I want to see all God's people be teachers. I want to see all of you be teachers. Like I said, not stand up here in the pulpit, not stand up at Sunday school class. That's not what I'm talking about. But you are growing to the point where you stop not drinking milk anymore, that you're eating meat, and you're able to stand up and teach somebody else. And see, some of us just got saved. And so you're not in that position. You can't do that. You need to keep on drinking that milk. Keep on drinking the milk. But drink the milk realizing that, hey, pretty soon I'm going to start eating hot dogs. And then I'm going to be eating a little lunch meat. And then I'm going to be chewing on one of them ribeyes. And that's where God wants us. That's where God wants us.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of The Gift of Exhortation. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Teaching, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Teaching or program number 080316. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Teaching or program number 080316. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.